Hello and welcome to Gamers Tunes. I'm your host Jason, all by myself for this segment. This segment I'm going to be talking about the next generation of games, a la PS4, the new Xbox, and even Wii U if you want to consider that a new generation, a next generation console. I myself don't, but you know, there's people out there who do. A couple of the topics that I'm going to be covering in this segment are graphics. New IPs, where online gaming is going, streaming, both in streaming games to your console and streaming games out to other people, what Let's Plays on YouTube will become, and the PS Vita integration. There may be some more topics I talk about. These are just some I have on the top of my head. One thing I want to get out of the way before I start this topic is, where has GamerTunes been? What have we been doing? What went wrong? It basically became a mess up of schedules and just not enough time to record. And now I just found that I'm just going to do this new initiative that some podcasts may be 15 minutes of me talking. Some may be an hour of all of us talking. This one particularly, hopefully, in the next two segments, we'll be talking about Injustice: Gods Among Us and Deus Ex. Next week I have new games planned out to review, some new stuff to talk about, topics, you know, such and such. I really love doing this, you know, podcasting, starting off. Basically this is a reboot, even though this says GamerTunes Episode 3, this is a reboot of it. I'm really, like, working out the kinks of our reviewing system, our segment system. I really like the system I had before, where it was, sometimes it would be me talking for two segments, sometimes but once by myself, but, every time I would have at least one segment with all three of us together. In the next two segments, Brian will be joining me for Deus Ex, and Brian and Brandon, hopefully Brandon, maybe, see if we can get him for the Injustice Gods Among Us review. So, yeah, got that out of the way, so let's get on to it. Next generation. So, let's, first next generation console, I consider, was announced on February 20th, PS4, so when he comes out with a big bang. As you know, we're a PlayStation 6 podcast. That's, you know, only comes with my own PlayStation, on the PS Vita, all that, and they come out with a big bang, they start talking and showing stuff, you know, graphics, new IPs, online systems, streaming in both games, and games out to, like, sources such as Twitch.tv, Ustream, and the PS Vita integration. So let's start off with graphics. They showed off the Unreal Engine 4 demo running on, you know, a PS4 hardware, hardware with air quotes, because, you know, they didn't really show the hardware. All they showed was the controller, which looks pretty nice. Hopefully, they haven't messed it up. I like the, convex, concave way the sticks go down into, the R2 and L2 buttons. You know, those are streamlined, but come out, Unreal Engine 4 looks amazing. They start showing tech demos such as Deep Down. Quantic Dream comes out with this demo of an old man and his face, and this dude talking about Polygon, the killer app, some would call the basically Killzone Shadowfall, which will be, I think, at every Sony press conference, new announcement, whatever you want to call it, forever. Because Guerrilla Games look great. They have this style to it. I'll probably talk about next generation games. This is just overall, and probably next week, that'll be my next week segment, talking about the games. But graphics looking great. One thing to note about the graphics is they looked great, but not as it did from PS2 to PS3. Because, you know, as you know, from PS2 to PS3, we're going from SD all the way up to HD, which is a giant leap. A giant leap from 480p to 780p to even some games 1080p, such as God of War. I'm pretty sure Killzone went to 1080p, Super Stardust Delta 1080p and 60 frames per second. A new indie game that I should be picking up soon. Guacamelee, runs at 60 frames per second. You know, it's really consistent new stuff. So they come out, they show graphics, they look great. New IPs to be talking about. I don't know if this is a new IP for Capcom. Showed off the Deep Down demo, which looks like a was that game, Dragon's Dogma. They say it's in the world of Dragon's Dogma because you can see DD deep down Dragon's Dogma, and that game, that even if it wasn't, if it was a tech demo, it looked amazing. I cannot believe how great it looked. Hopefully, it'll look like that, even if it's a downgraded version of that. Still, it'll look amazing. I'd like something to tack on with graphics. That I forgot is the as I mentioned with 60 frames per second stuff. This new generation will probably be able to do 60 frames per second more, especially with the announcement that the PS4 has 8 gigs of RAM, which is a lot of RAM. I think it's 3 times more than the amount of RAM the PS3 has currently, and it makes me really excited for publishers such as Bethesda and Rockstar, where these big open world games can now involve more characters, more AI, what is it, AI patterns, more stuff like that. So back to new IPs, it was deep down. They showed Dragon's Dogma, which, that's not a new IP, but it was looking great. That was running on PC hardware that is emulating PS4 hardware, I'm pretty sure. Don't quote me on that one. Knack, by the I forgot his name, but Knack. Is another new IP. That looks, looks pretty good. I think that game is basically a tech demo in itself because of all the polygons you see him ripping apart, all those polygons getting ripped apart. Killzone Shadowfall, that's not a new IP, that's Killzone, but it looks like a new IP. Because of the way it looks. And it's not that that orange and gray look. It's blue. It's very blue. Very much blue, the color pattern. Even though it was a little janky at times when the dude was walking down the steps, that animation they could work on. They have Lord knows how long till the PS4 comes out, which is this holiday. Diablo 3 is coming to PS3, and PS4, which, it's Diablo, whatevs. I think that was it. Let's talk about online and where Sony's taking online from here. The big initiative is the is Gaikai with this new online stuff. They say that you can hopefully in the future you'll be able to stream any game on any device using the Gaikai framework, and that's really exciting because if you can stream a game all the way to your PS Vita, with PS4 graphics, not running on that hardware because you're running on a different hardware, such as the Wii U. Is doing, and such as PS3 tries to emulate with the remote play from PS Vita to PS3, which they're not the best, but hopefully they have it down, especially with this new Gaikai servers and stuff that'll make it look good. They showed Knack on it, so yeah. And I also want to talk about the streaming out, where you can stream to Ustream, your friends can click on you and watch you, whatever you're playing. You could stream your game to your friend for he can say you can't get past the part and your friend has already beaten the game, he has it, you basically give control to your friend that's in a totally different place. That's really exciting. And I'm gonna move on to the next topic, which is what Let's Plays will become if because they announced that every 15 minutes the PS4 is recording. So every 15 minutes, the PS4 is recording whatever 15 minutes you just did, and then you can save it, post it to Facebook, hopefully YouTube, whatever, Vimeo if you even use that, Blip. And what Let's Plays will become, because there's a lot of Let's Plays out there, but there's not there's not like a clusterfuck of Let's Plays, but maybe there will be when people just, oh, look at this, blue blue, I'm gonna play through this game 15 minute chunks, 15 minute chunks, which people already do in 15 minute chunks, but it's harder now. It's harder now, especially you need like a Rock Hill Game Capture, an Elgato, a Hop Hog. So what's Let's Play is gonna become? Will there be new people on on the Let's Plays block? Will it become better as a result of every PS4 recording at all times? I don't know, but I just want to see where it goes. Hopefully it's the latter, and not the former. Because if it is the former, then that's just gonna be sad. I'm seeing Let's Plays being a jumbled mess of just look at this, look at this, look at this headshot. There's really those videos, but the shittier quality and looking at them. Another thing with the 15 minutes that developers have to think about is your game has to be pretty squeaky clean, because if there's a pretty bad glitch, that's gonna be online. Like, it's like no more, I'm gonna capture it from my phone onto my screen. It's just recorded this dude exploding. He's riding a horse in the air. The world is upside down. Screen tearing galore. This will be shown off, and I wonder if developers are a little scared about that, a little shaky. Because if it's recording every 15 minutes, you know, your game has to be on point. You can't be releasing a jumbled mess. You can't be War Z. Which, War Z. See, I've been on point with this, with the gaming industry since you last talked, and I'm really happy that I'm doing this because I really want to talk about stuff like this. And a last topic, PS Vita integration. As I mentioned, the remote play, they were showing that off a bit. The streaming to the device, such and everything. So you just they say that hopefully every single game will be streamed, can be streamed from PS4 to PS Vita, which is basically the Wii U equivalent. So who needs a Wii U now? I don't know. The only games I could see myself getting a Wii U for is Zombie U, and probably whatever new Mario game they're going to be releasing, because, you know, it's Mario. Legend of Zelda, something such as that, but that's a whole nother topic. Which, maybe I got another topic about the Wii U and what I'm going to be doing. We'll be covering that at all, which most likely we won't, but I'm telling you right now, with the next generation of games, we will be covering, PS4. I'm looking to get it day of when those pre-order, when they announce the price, if it's not $1 billion, which, please, Sony, don't make it like $600 like you did before. Yeah, that's on the PlayStation side of the next generation. Let's move on to the Xbox side. So, on PlayStation side, we talk about graphics, MIPs, online streaming, Let's Plays will become a PS Vita integration. There's only one thing I want to talk about, because all those topics I just talked about also can be talked about on the Xbox. But I want to talk about, always online, because on May 21st, Xbox will be announcing the next generation of games. With Call of Duty is already set. Call of Duty Ghosts is already set to be on there. I don't know if anything else has been announced as of this recording. Nothing else has been announced. That no other games haven't been announced to be there. So if May 21st, there is other games. I didn't know about it because I'm recording at an earlier date than that. I want to talk about Always Online because there's rumors coming up that Xbox will be always online. And I don't believe this. I do not believe this. Because Xbox loves to make money. I mean, Microsoft loves to make money. Why are they going to do this Always Online initiative? Why are you going to do this? It makes no sense. No sense at all. Because if I live in buttfuck Kentucky, middle of nowhere, and I'm playing my Xbox with my friends, I gotta go play that new Madden, I gotta get that Call of Duty, and I have bad internet, and it slows down, or it's shut down, I wanna play with my buddies, online, and my internet shuts down, you know, that happens now, my internet shuts down, and I can't play online with my buddies. But what if you go to play with your buddies offline and your Xbox won't turn on because you're not online? That's terrible. That's really, really bad. Why would you do that at all? It makes no sense. I don't think they're doing it. If they are doing it, they're dumb. They want to lose money. It just makes me mad. That's disgusting. Why would you do that? Because it didn't work for OnLive. The Always Online initiative, Gaikai, barely worked. Ubisoft stopped their DRM, Always Online. The only company it works for is Steam. And it works for Steam because Steam is on point. It's been, redesigned. It's been integrated on, Valve knows what they're doing with Steam. And, Xbox, you're coming right out of the gate, trying to do this Always Online thing, you know. Valve had some experience with it before they released Steam, and you guys don't. It's like when Sony came out and they tried to do PSN and they fucking blundered because they had no experience. But you guys did really well because you had experience with Xbox Live beforehand, and you integrated onto that with the new Xbox Live, and that's why you basically won last generation. Which that hurts me to say, but Xbox won last generation. You know, Sony came in a close second. Wii is last generation. They won last generation. No, they didn't even win last generation. They came in second last generation because PS2 won last generation, which is that's a little hard to follow. And that's the reason Wii is last generation because Nintendo said, guess what? We're not going to release any new graphics. Which, all right, whatever. You didn't release. You released SD console running at 480p all the games. But that's maybe hurting you now because you sold so many units that you thought you came out of the gate thinking, oh, people are just gonna buy our new system. And Wii U, look at Wii U, what is happening with you, Wii U? Nobody's buying Wii U right now. That's a whole nother topic, which that'll be probably added on to the online the Wii U conversation we'll have in a couple weeks. Hopefully Bonaprend will be on to that. But yeah, always online. It's not gonna happen. Hopefully not. Just like they said, Call of Duty Ghosts is only gonna be next generation. No. Companies like money. You know, they love it. You know, your shareholders love money. Even though sometimes maybe the shareholders don't know what that means, always online. They love money, and they're not gonna let you do this. Is there any more topics I wanna talk about for this next generation talk? Yeah. All right, I forgot. This is another topic I want to talk about. The middle tier games. It looks like more and more there's not going to be any of these middle tier games. I'm talking about the THQs of the world, the Midways of the world. THQ was on its last leg, and they were the last second. Like, they're not double A. I mean, they're not triple A, but they're not indie. They were basically in the middle. They were releasing products that were weird, indie with like indie archetypes, but with kind of AAA budgets. That's where you get the creative stuff. Even though on indies you get a lot of creative stuff with indie games such as Closure, Guacamelee, as I mentioned, Super Soldiers Delta, The Cave. The Pixel Junk series, you know, you get these really creative stuff, but you also ha with THQ you had a mixture of those. With Midway you kind of had a mixture of those before they shut down. And it looks like it's just going to be next generation. If you don't have a AAA game, then you're an indie developer, because you cannot survive on selling. Like, look at Tomb Raider. I think Tomb Raider sold 4 million copies, and it was a failure to Ubisoft. So Square Enix, which makes no fucking sense. How the fuck can a game sell 4 million copies and you say it's not a financial success? Unless you were blowing it all on blowing hookers, and you were like, oh, we're just gonna take this money and then we're gonna blow it on blowing hookers and then make the game. That makes no sense. Look, Square Enix, get your shit and your budget together. The only people that are making your money are Rocksteady and Western developers, basically Western developers, because you're not doing shit. Final Fantasy sells, yes, but you're not releasing the products like you used to. You got a new president. Let's see where you go from there. Hopefully, you redesign everything. Do something new with the Final Fantasy, or you go back old school. I don't know. I don't play that many JRPGs, even though Ni No Kuni looks amazing. You know, I'm foreshadowing a Ni No Kuni review, but if you don't hear me for a while, that's probably because I'm doing a Ni No Kuni review. So, yeah, basically, will Next Generation be the best? Will it fail, as some are saying? Will these be the last consoles? Maybe. And that's scary to me, because I grew up in a world with PS2. I didn't. I even though I was born in 97, I should have played PlayStation 1. I didn't. And I got my PS2 when I was like 7. I didn't even play that much, and I got into gaming 5 years ago now. I've been a self-propounded nerd for like 5 years, even though I didn't even know it. But yeah, next generation. I'm really excited. Hope you guys are too. Stay tuned for the next segment. Thank you for listening. I'm Jason, and I'm out. And I'm back here with my illustrious co-host,
Brian.
How's it going, Brian? How's it been since the last podcast?
It's been a while.
But, you know, we have a new initiative. We're going to get these out for you fans, loyal fans that have been listening since episode fucking Dead Island. That was, remember that? The Dead Island review was the first thing.
Yeah.
Some of you may have not heard that. That's on IGN if you want to go look for that on my blog. I think it's Loneliest Gamer still over there, whatever. But we're not here to talk about old stuff. We're here to talk about Deus Ex Human Revolution. I recently beat it about a couple days ago, and I just want to get a review out for it. So, yeah, Brian, you have any questions, you know, anything you want to talk? Because I know you've seen me playing some of it, so anything you want to ask me?
How's the story in the game?
Oh, well, the story, maybe you don't know, but some of you may know, it's a prequel to the original Deus Ex. Deus Ex was a game, I think... No, I know Ken Levine was somehow involved with that. You know, Ken Levine of BioShock fame, he was somehow involved with one of those games, something like that. But it came back because it's an old game, PS2, PC game. And this is a prequel to it. And in this game, you play as a character named Adam Jensen. This is right when the nanotechnology, or whatever you want to call it, the augmentation technology, is coming up. You know, some people love it, some people are rioting over it, some people don't even know what to think about it. You yourself aren't really opinionated, you're a security guard, you're not augmented in the beginning of the game. Something happens, not to ruin anything, something happens to you, or you must get heavily augmented. Your body accepts all these augmentations, and you're basically looking for some scientists that were working on this technology to make it easier for people to get augmentations. I don't know how this really evolves into, because after I beat it, I don't know how this evolves into the Deus Ex, the original. If this is like a prequel slash remake or a prequel reboot, it probably is. I would love to see a sequel. That's all I'm gonna say for now. You'll score later. Anything else?
So something happens to him and they fix him up.
He gets heavily damaged at the beginning of the game. And then after that, you're heavily augmented, and you get to do, you're basically kind of, you're like half human, half robot at that point.
A cyborg.
Kind of, but you don't look like Cyborg from DC, of Injustice Gods Among Us fame, which we'll be reviewing in the next segment, quite ironically. So, yeah. Oh, gameplay. Let's walk over to the gameplay. You know the story, but how about the gameplay? I like to call it like a first-person slash third-person hybrid, because when you're not behind cover, you're in first person, like kind of a la Call of Duty. The controls are a little bit different. L1 is to get behind cover, and what is it? R3 is to like look into your scope. If you're a heavy Call of Duty, I'm gonna run and gun shooter kind of guy, this game may kind of not be for you. I don't know, cause I myself played this game stealthy, cause you can play this stealthy, or run a gun, kind of like Metal Gear.
Well, for you tried stealthy because you really needed the trophy.
Yeah, the trophy. All right, so you're bringing up something I'm going to bring up later. Trophy. This trophy, it's called Pacifist. It's I started off trying to get two. Not setting off any alarms and not killing anybody. Not setting off any alarms is really hard, of what I thought. I didn't look into it, and it looks like it was pretty easy if I reloaded the game a couple more times. But I got Pacifist. That's not killing anybody, and you can do that. You can go through not killing anybody, and I did it. It's a really fun way to play the game. It's really different. If you're a run and gun shooter, you're not gonna like it because the controls are different, and there's not that much ammo for guns. The only time I had to kill somebody is with the bosses, and that doesn't count towards the trophy. But if you kill a boss, it says it's all right. You can kill the boss because that's how you progress through the game after killing these bosses.
So you use the tranquilizer.
I use the tranquilizer for almost every enemy. You can either do a stealthy takedown or not so stealthy where you kill them. So the stealthy takedown, it makes less noise and you knock them out.
but it gives more chance for them to be awoken by their friends if they find the body. The more loud but more effective takedown is the killing takedown.
Can you move the body if you take a
You can move the body, yeah. Kind of like Hitman in a way.
So I know that there's a lot of machines. It's not only people that attack you.
Yeah, there's also, thanks for bringing that up, there's in the stealth system, there's not only humans, but there's also like security turrets, security cameras that you can go and find a room for if you're stealthy, going stealthy like I did, and hack into a computer, which is another system that was really interesting and really fun in the game, which is this hacking system, where it's kind of like, how could you explain it? How could I explain it? You're like this little, it like, node, and you're moving around, and you're like, you're picking to like, kind of unlock this one system.
The networks.
Like, yeah, like unlock this one network, but then if there's like a chance that you, the big overarching security network will catch you, and if it sees you hacking, it'll start like making everything red, and you're supposed to get to this green node. To get to those, you have to activate other like terminals. If you've seen a little bit of the gameplay, you kind of get it. It's hard to explain.
So it's kind of like you're a virus trying to unlock everything.
Yeah.
And they come out, and then, like, I guess the virus protection comes after you trying to take you away.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, you have it down like that. You can hack into doors, computers, which are really helpful. Computers, you really want to look into, if you want to get a lot of backstory, you look into the computers, read the emails, there's some funny stuff, in the computers with dudes talking, left and right.
Is it hard to get weapons?
Okay. If you're going, like, run and gun, it looked like it would be hard because there's not that much ammo. When I was knocking out dudes and I was looting them, because you can loot the dudes, and I was looting them for ammo, they didn't have a lot of ammo. But you know, I always knew when there was a boss or something big coming up to kill is because right beforehand, they'd be giving you heavy machine guns, machine pistols and lockers, but if you're not looking for those things, you may not get it. But even when you're fighting a boss, since they kind of knew that there's not that much ammo on these dudes, in the area you're fighting this boss in, because there's multiple bosses, you kind of, there's like ammo and guns, and you can get them. The only gripe I had with the boss system was that since I was playing stealthy, I wasn't upgrading. Because there's nothing called upgrade system. I wasn't upgrading my health that much. I wasn't upgrading my armor, my gun proficiency. I wasn't upgrading anything. I was upgrading my hacking. That was very useful. Upgrading and hacking. My eyesight to see where they're looking cones. I upgraded where I can jump for higher buildings, where I can get to stuff quickly. I upgraded my strength, where I can punch through walls, where I can get through stuff. Upgraded my moving for it can be more silent, stuff like that, since I was taking the stealthy route. But if you want to take the big run and gun route, you could do that, and there's upgrades for that too, like your skin gets harder, you take more damage. I wasn't doing that, and since I wasn't doing that, it was kind of hard to fight these bosses where in a couple shots you'd be dead. So I had to save a lot.
That's what I was gonna say.
I had to save and then load. I get it, pop a couple shots, save. Run out, pop a couple shots, oh, he killed me, load back to my save. That was a little tedious, the boss fight.
So that's a good thing to use.
Yeah.
Save and then...
Yeah, there's a lot of save. Like, the checkpoint system is pretty alright. I ended up saving a lot throughout the game. You kind of want to save a lot because of, you know, as I mentioned, the checkpoint system. And there's a couple moments in the game you want to save because you want to take stuff... You want to take a different route when you're talking to people, because there's also this talking systems, such as like Bethesda games or Fallout or Skyrim, where you can talk to people. Not as in depth. You don't get to talk to as many people like that, but there is, and you can take a lot of different routes. There's like three different routes. Like there's kind of like good, middle, evil, whatever. Like you know, you get the gist. Like kind of Mass Effect style.
So in this game, there was like a lot of talking to other people to find out stuff.
Yeah, there's also a system that I liked where it was like a hormone upgrade you could do, where you could like release this pheromone, and you could kind of influence what they were gonna say to you. So you can since you release this hormone, it'll like make them more lucid, make them more wanting to talk to you. And so you know, if they talked, if you can get them, like say you're trying to convince somebody in the one part, you're trying to get into a police building to get some information. So if your dialogue goes badly, this dude's not going to let you in. You're not supposed to get in, but if So you're gonna have to like stealth through. If the cops see you, they'll shoot you in the police station. But as I did, I got through the dialogue well. I talked to him. He was like, "All right, go in." Cops didn't mind me in there. But if you didn't, you would have to be sneaking around trying to get the stuff.
So there's different ways you could go do things. You could do it the stealthy way, go through, or you could talk and get in.
Yeah. There was a couple of situations like that. There was a couple I saw like that. Not that much. But there was a couple. There's multiple ways to do stuff.
So this game kind of lets you a little bit pick your own choices,
Pick
to
your
get
own
into it.
choices, yeah. It's not Mass Effect style where it's like, oh, if you make this decision 3 games down, this character's gonna be dead. But it was none of your decisions during the game will influence the ending at all. You can influence the ending though. That's all I have to say. There's multiple endings. That's not a spoiler. If you want to say it's a spoiler, comment below. Tell me if I'm not releasing anything. I mean, I'm not saying enough, or I'm saying too much about the game. Whatevs.
But the graphics of the game look pretty well.
I like the neon, like futuristic, gritty Shanghai, such stuff like that. It looked really good.
High tech.
Not the best though.
So it's set in the future, right?
Yeah. That's another thing I forgot to say. Yeah, it's like a neo. It's like a futuristic punk. Was it machine punk? I forgot the name of it. Not steam. I no, it's not steampunk. Steampunk's like revolutionary technology and whatever. But yeah, it's in the future. I think it's like 2035. I'm pretty sure. Don't quote me on that. There's multiple locations. There's another thing I forgot to talk about. There's multiple locations. You first start out in Detroit, and from there you go around the world. Not as massive as I thought. They reuse a couple locations, a couple times. There's a lot of buildings, a lot of them the same texture models. People's faces you'll see multiple times with just like different color palettes, basically. So yeah.
How do you get around?
You walk. You run around. It's not. It's not. It's open world-ish. Cause there's like there's there'll be one, the Lim Clinic is where you go to buy stuff. There's also in every city you go to, there's like gun people, there's Lim Clinics that are like a constant. So yeah, it's very they kind of change it up a little bit when you come back to these places, cause you will go back to Detroit after you leave it. They change it up a little bit. I like the way they change it up. Like first you're there, it's normal, but when you come back, it's Rioting City, so there's different things happening, going on.
But to get from city to city, you use a plane,
A
right?
plane, yeah. You have
A private.
a private jet person. I forgot her name, but yeah, she's a pretty good Malik. Her name's Malik. She's a pretty good character. She flies you around. She has some personality. Yeah, so you fly around from city to city. Sometimes you won't fly around from city to city.
From going from each city to city, how long do you spend in each city?
It depends. If you're doing every side quest, then I would say like 4 hours.
So there's a main storyline, and then you could do the side little missions
Yeah.
for these people.
Also, one thing I forgot, there's side missions. This game took me about 25 to 30 hours to beat, doing almost every side quest. Everything I could.
So you completed every single side quest?
Not everything. Not everything. There's some stuff I couldn't do because your decisions don't affect the ending or the story, but your decisions do affect if you get a side quest or not. If you talk to somebody well, but if you don't, you won't get one side quest.
So it's kind of like optional a little bit, I
Yeah,
guess.
it's optional, but sometimes you're not even given the option because of your actions beforehand. Not like, oh, at the beginning of the game, I spoke to this dude, and I said this one thing, and then in the middle of the game, he wanted doing it for me. No, it's more like in this situation, right before this, I told this guy to fuck off, so his friend is not gonna give me the side quest. I had that happen to me, not the fuck off situation, but I had the situation where I didn't do something in the right order to get the side quest, which that kind of adds on replayability. Another gripe. With the game is there's not that much replayability unless you're gonna go back in to get trophies or beat it on a higher difficulty. Maybe there is if you want to beat it a different way. I have no really, I don't have a feeling to go back and play it run and
Is
gun.
there chapters or not?
Just kind of something like a chapter system. Yeah, like between each city. Every time you reload the game, which I like because I would stop and like for a week and not play the game. While it's loading, while you're loading back into the game, it kind of tells you like previously on like what happened, and you read the script, and then like, and it kind of jumbles your mind. That's a problem I'm having with Vanquish right now because I haven't played that in a while, and I don't know what I kind of know the gist of the story, but I don't know why I'm here. In this new place I just went to. Look for that review next week, Vanquish, if I can hopefully beat
So
it.
in this game, you really have to pay attention to know what's going on. You can't just sit there and play. And then there's I know there's a lot of cut scenes in this game.
There's a lot of there's a couple cutscenes. It's not like Metal Gear Solid where it's like an hour cutscene, but there's enough cutscenes, and those cutscenes look pretty good. They're pre-rendered cutscenes. I was trying to look at the game box here. I can't find what engine they're using. It's made by Eidos Montreal, which is up in Canada, and published by Square Enix, which in the couple past years, Square Enix has been really like publishing a couple good things. They recently published Hitman Absolution, Sleeping Dogs, which has come to PlayStation Plus. If you're listening to this is probably posted on Monday. If you're listening to this, it's free PlayStation Plus members right now. So you should get that game because that will be a review in the coming month or two, depending how long I beat that. But yeah, Square Enix, that's another conversation one other time, is what Square Enix is doing right now. I mentioned that in the last segment. But yeah, I don't think do we have anything other questions, because it looks like we're winding down to the end. If I can say the music, there's not that much of it. The theme song, I know there's talking about like a Thuysaus X theme song in there. I don't know. I don't really know the Thuysaus X theme song.
In my opinion, from watching you play this game, it seems like a game that when you sit down and you start playing, you don't want to put down the controller. You want to play for a good
You
hour.
don't. It's very. I'm not comparing it to Skyrim that much, but it's very Skyrim-ish, like Skyrim-ish. When you're involved into this world, you don't really get bored easily because you have a lot of things to do. And it was fun for me sneaking around, finding new ways. Ooh, oh, this dude found me. I want to reload. He killed me. I want to reload. I want to see if I can get past him, knock out that camera. Sometimes that could become tedious if it was too much. But sometimes it would just be just enough, the right situation where I'm like, I'm gonna jump down here, knock this dude out, hide his body, come up to behind his friend. Because there's energy, because you can't just do multiple things. There's energy. Like if you knock on a dude, you start off with like two batteries, and like you eat stuff to regenerate life. Like not
Reminds me
like,
kind of Dead Island.
yeah, the stamina, such as like Demon's Souls and Dark Souls and Dead Island, as you said, that had like a stamina bar. But it's not like a bar, it's more like a battery, so like specific things. If you upgrade to lift heavy objects, that takes a battery out, which only one battery recharges, and you can upgrade how many batteries you have. And that was very fun. Kind of sometimes tedious, sometimes not fun. Sometimes I got into situations where I would knock out a dude, his friend would come over, he'd see him, then I knock him out, then his friend would come over, knock him out, then it'd be like this
It gets
pile,
repetitive.
yeah, like a pile of bodies. Sometimes the AI wasn't as good as it should be. Like this dude walked past me, and then when he like and then like when he came back, he saw me, and he's like, what happened? He was like walking past me, and then once he got like a little bit past me, he turned around, he's like, what the fuck? He's like,
Like
what the
you
fuck?
just walk past me,
yeah
like.
yeah he didn't see me. Sometimes I'd be like in situations where they should definitely be able to see me, but they didn't. So the AI isn't that well. I didn't really have any problems with the game locking up on me. That only happened when I got my used copy, my first used copy, which had scratches on it, and that locked up a whole bunch of times. But with when I got a new copy, when I exchanged it for a better copy, those problems smooth, not that janky. Overall, this is a really great game to play through. I loved it. With gripes all considered, everything in the end, this game gets a 4.5 stars from me. It Not 5 stars because it's not the best. It's just not the.
It's something you want to look into, but not something that you have to buy.
You, I would say to play it. Like I would say, you
In
should
your
play it.
opinion.
In my opinion, you should play it. The problems in this game lie in the kind of the difficulty spikes with the bosses, and there were some tedious platforming I had to do at times to sneak around enemies, which platforming is not the best in me, especially in a game like this. Sometimes I got lost, which that was more of my problem than the game's problem. Maybe because I wasn't listening, I was doing something else. But this is definitely not a game you sit down, listen, pop a podcast on, such as ours, and start playing it. It's not a Call of Duty where you can just play through the story, whatever. You're really in the story. You really want to see Adam succeed, whichever ending you pick, whichever way you want him to succeed in. All I'm saying is stay after the credits, because there is a little nod to the next game, and there's also a trophy that pops if you stay and watch that credit sequence. Anything closing comments for this segment you want to talk about?
Not really, but I just want to say I would give this game a 4. I haven't really played it. I've seen Jason play it. It looks like a good game, you know?
It's just not your type of game.
It's not my type.
It's a really good game. You guys should pick it up. It's like $15 at GameStop. We're out pre-owned currently. There's no new copies. When I went to go pick it up, it's really good. 4.5 stars out of 5. Thanks for listening to this segment. Stay tuned for our last segment on the review of Injustice: Gods Among Us. Brian, thank you. Thanks for being here. I'm Jason. And we're back, but not with the Injustice: Gods Among Us review. I'm very sorry.
Yeah, we are.
Me and Brian, we decided that we didn't have enough time. We were going to shoot the segment. We were talking to each other. We were asking each other what we're going to think. What are we going to give the game? I just don't think I haven't played enough game. Brian don't think he hasn't played enough game. I wouldn't be able to talk about the archive system, the Star Labs mode, online.
If we're going to give you a review, we really want to give you like full power, everything it has.
So,
no?
Yeah,
need a little bit more time.
Give sorry for that. By next week, we'll give you guys the Justice review. Since that and Vanquish will be next week after that, if I can play, give myself a little bit more time with Vanquish, since I'm going to be working on Injustice. So yeah, I'm really sorry, guys, but hopefully we have some new stuff in the woodworks. You got a 40-minute podcast. You guys barely got a 20-minute podcast, the last podcast we released, but we're back and we're ready. Thank you for listening. Follow me on Twitter. I'm Game Over Jason. Subscribe, listen to us on Podiomatic, rate us on iTunes, because we're over on the iTunes, OneCast, I have on my phone. I also you can also find us through there. I don't know how to get onto Stitcher, but if I can, I'll find a way to get onto Stitcher. Comment below if you have any, stuff to, talk to us about, if you want to ask us any questions, or, critical stuff you want to talk about. Email me because we want to start a question segment, and email us, email me or tweet at me, email me at lonelinessgamer@gmail.com, and tweet at me at Game Over Jason. Thanks for listening. Thank you, Brian, for being on this podcast.
No, it's okay. Thank you, Jason, for bringing me on to this.
You know, Brian, be my co-host forever. Sorry again. Thanks for listening. Gamer Tunes.